Hello everyone, my name is Uldar. Welcome to another episode of Ask Me About North Korea, a podcast about the most reclusive country in the world. In this podcast, I'm answering the most widespread questions about North Korean politics, society, and culture, in a short and concise manner, based on factual evidence. If you like this podcast, I would be grateful if you could share it with your friends, leave a positive review, make a donation, or subscribe. You can also visit the podcast website, www.askmeaboutdprk.wordpress.com. There you can access episode transcripts, as well as some other materials, such as book reviews, film recommendations, and online events. As the name of the podcast suggests, please feel free to ask me questions in your comments and reviews. I will do my best to answer them in the next episodes. And now, let's start. Today's episode will not be very analytical, but the topic that I will cover provides some important context for the previous episodes in your understanding of the North Korean socioeconomic system and its place in the global trade streams. Apart from that, a couple of people have expressed their interest in it, especially after the episodes discussing economic questions and North Korean illicit activities. That is why today I will talk a bit more about North Korean exports and what does the country focus on in its production and external trade. As you might remember from your economy courses, the new international division of labor has its own consequences. Today, almost every country specializes on something in their production and exports, and North Korea is no exception. So, here I will insert a brief reminder about the North Korean economic system. As most of you remember from the previous episodes, North Korea is no longer a planned economy. In September 1984, North Korea promulgated a joint venture law to attract foreign capital, while in the course of the 1990s and 2000s, it announced the creation of several special economic zones, where allegedly softer requirements for business activities were introduced. Privatization has been the main driver of economic development in North Korea. In fact, many North Korean enterprises used to sell most of their produce to China in the 2000s and 2010s, since they know that they can make much more money on the Chinese rather than the domestic market. Former communists oftentimes make the best capitalists. So, what are the main export-oriented industries in North Korea? Yes, you know what I'm going to say. The statistics here are not particularly detailed or reliable, even though the DPRK regularly publishes some fictitious numbers. That said, we can still understand how things look based on the outputs of North Korea's trade with China. Why? Well, because the Chinese customs statistics might hide a lot of illegal trade, but is still a bit more reliable than the North Korean one. So, if we look at the official data provided by the Chinese customs, the biggest product categories are mineral products, textiles, metals, and animal products, mostly fish. By the way, if you want to see the exact graphical details on available statistics, then you will be able to check out the graphical figure on the podcast's website. Now, let's proceed to the individual categories. First, let's start with the mining and mineral products. The mineral industry in the country is structured under three broad sectors: coal mining, ferrous and non-ferrous metals mining, as well as industrial minerals mining and processing. All these sectors are owned by the central government, while the industry itself also supports the country's military budget. According to South Korean and international assessments, the DPRK has reserves of more than 200 mineral types distributed over 80% of its territory. North Korea used to export coal, iron ore, limestone, magnesite, graphite, copper, zinc, lead, and other precious metals. In fact, it is one of the world's largest producers of iron and zinc, and it has the 22nd largest coal reserves in the world. Apart from that, North Korea is thought to have tremendous potential metal resources, especially rare earth metals, whose total value, according to South Korean companies, might go all the way up to $6 trillion. Thus, it might not be very surprising for you to hear that both Chinese and Russian mining companies used to invest a lot in this sector in North Korea in the 2010s, with an estimate of $500 million investment in the last decade. In fact, 41% of all Chinese companies trading in North Korea are involved in mining. Despite all the difficulties of having to deal with the North Korean bureaucracy, production can still be quite profitable. Another successful export industry of North Korea is the garment industry, which is especially strong considering how cheap and qualified the North Korean labor force is. Clothing made up a total of $584 million of North Korea's exports in 2017, the year when the most stringent UN sanctions against North Korea were introduced. Therefore, now the production process is usually accompanied by a Chinese firm or some other foreign partner operating in North Korea. The made clothing is usually not labeled and then exported to the PRC, where it is labeled with Made in China tags before being re-exported. If you are curious about how the North Korean companies cope with the international sanctions regime, I would recommend you to watch an excerpt from the film My Brothers and Sisters in the North, which I will attach to the website post. Anyway, let's continue. Fish is another important North Korean commodity which is exported mostly to China only. North Korea sells fishing quotas both to foreigners throughout agents in China and to its own citizens domestically. Yet not everyone can afford purchasing the official permits. North Korean fishermen who are deprived of quotas often have to resort to poaching in the Chinese and Russian waters, which are much farther away from the Korean shores. In fact, thousands of North Korean vessels used to fish in the waters of Russia and Japan annually before the COVID-19 pandemic. Typically, those were small boats unsuited for the high seas, which is why they would sometimes get shipwrecked, both on the Russian shores, but especially on the Japanese archipelago. These ghost ships, carrying a dead crew, often resurfaced in both Russian and Japanese local media. Finally, on top of all that, I would also mention construction. It has been an active economic sector in North Korea, not only domestically, but also internationally. Its success was demonstrated through the development of large housing programs, results of which mostly were visible in the high-rise apartment blocks of Pyongyang. Since about 2012, when 18 tower blocks were built in Pyongyang, a real construction boom began. Major projects included the Mansudae People's Theatre, Mansu Water Park, and the Pyongyang Science and Technology Center. Quite recently, the Masikryong Ski Resort was built in a record time with aspiration to co-host some events for the 2018 Pyeongchang Olympics. Wonsan, the most popular internal touristic destination, also went through the same construction boom. This architectural effectiveness and efficiency made North Korea quite famous abroad. Thus, the Mansudae Overseas Project used to send North Korean artists, engineers, and construction workers to many countries all around the world. Sculptures, monuments, and buildings in the style of socialist realism have been built by North Korean workers in 17 countries. The list includes Angola, Algeria, Benin, Botswana, Cambodia, Chad, Democratic Republic of Congo, Egypt, Equatorial Guinea, Ethiopia, Germany, Malaysia, Mali, Mozambique, Namibia, Senegal, Togo, and Zimbabwe. Quite a diverse list, if you ask me. By the way, if you are curious how the style of North Korean socialist realism looks like, make sure to check out the photos attached to the episode's post on the website. It is somewhat similar to that of many other socialist states like the Soviet Union, yet it does have its own peculiarities, with many buildings, for example, relying on paneled minimalist structures in the shape of cylinders or cubes. Well, that was it for today. Do you think that any of these industries have future potential for development if North Korea were to become an open market economy? Leave your opinion in the comments below or in the review section. If you like this episode, please leave a positive review on the podcast platform like Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, subscribe to the podcast, or make a donation on my website, www.askmeabouttprk.wordpress.com. Also, feel free to provide your feedback on this episode's quality and ask any questions about North Korea that you might have. Thank you for listening, stay healthy, and stay tuned.